Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from Romans chapter 11. And I'm following up on a subject that I started last week as I preached from the Old Testament, Isaiah 45, entitled, Israel Shall Be Saved. Israel Shall Be Saved. And the point that I've been making as I go through these scriptures is just, for example, in Isaiah 45 there, it talks about how Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. That's talking about eternal salvation. It's not talking about physical deliverance, temporary deliverance, but it's talking about eternal life, salvation, that comes by the grace of God based on the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh. And the Israel that he's speaking of there is not a physical nation. And it's not an ethnic group. But it's the chosen people of God, called the election of grace, whom God chose before the foundation of the world, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, and gave to Christ, made Christ to be their surety, and sent Christ into the world to save them. And so, what he's talking about is believers, those who have been brought by the grace and power of God to hear and believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace, and to repent of their dead works. And here in Romans chapter 11, he begins, I read these last week, but let's read them again. This, if you didn't hear last week's message, call or write or email us and get the message, or listen to it on our website. Israel Shall Be Saved, Part 1. This is Part 2. And he says in chapter 11 of Romans, now let's look at this again, verse 1. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, why was Paul asking that question or anticipating it? Well, he was talking about in Romans chapter 8 and 9, how that all of God's people, all whom God chose in Christ before the salvation of the world, shall be saved. And this includes God's elect among Israel. But if you go back and you look at certain passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, you see passages like we read last week in Isaiah 45. It says there, Israel shall be saved. But if you look at the history of the nation Israel, the physical nation, it's not a history of faith. It's a history of rebellion, unbelief, even idolatry. Now, if you don't believe me on that, go back and look at Isaiah chapter 1, how he begins his prophetic message, talking about his indictment against Israel for their sins, for their disobedience, for their rebellion, for their idolatry. Even calls them, likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah. And any time I say this, or I use this example, I always caution people now, don't get puffed up. Because what that shows is all of us by nature, as we are fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, and as we are born again, born into this world spiritually dead. We're all sinners. And you could look at Israel and you say, well, all those awful people. Well, now look, if God were to give any of us what we deserve or what we've earned, it would be eternal damnation. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible, and you think too highly of yourself. You see, my prayer is, God, don't ever give me what I deserve or what I've earned. I need grace. I need mercy, and that comes in Christ. Outside of Christ, no love from God, no grace from God, no mercy from God. And so he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Because the majority of Israel were lost. He says, God forbid, chapter 11, verse 1, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was an Israelite by birth, an ethnic Jew. But now, he was a believer. And he says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. That foreknow there is foreordained. God chose a people, gave them to Christ. Christ said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 2 of Romans 11, what, that word W-O-T means know you not what the Scripture saith of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. You see, he was being opposed by everybody. And he interceded with God to destroy them. And he says, verse 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. He's in essence saying, God, would you please destroy them, get them. He thought he was the only one. And so in verse 4, it says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? This is recorded over in 1 Kings 19. God said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Many times true believers can think or feel like they're by themselves. But God has a people. And he says, told Elijah, I've reserved 7,000 to myself who've not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. All the rest of Israel had. But look at verse 5. Now this is key. Romans 11, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now that's Israel there. That's the true Israel of God. That's spiritual Israel. This remnant according to the election of grace. It's a small part. They've been chosen by God, and their election was not by their works. It was not God, as some say, looking down through a telescope of time and foreseeing what they would do, God reacting to some future crystal ball gazing. No, it was of grace. And grace always reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God chose them in Christ. And he says, verse 6, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You can't mix the two. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. I've heard people say about certain preachers, say, well, they mix grace and works. You can't do that. In other words, if you say they mix grace and works, you know what they're doing? They're preaching works. That's all they're doing. Salvation conditioned on the sinner. But look at verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now he's talking about national Israel there. How do you know? Because they didn't obtain that which he seeketh for. They didn't obtain it. Now what were they seeking? I'm going to show you in just a minute. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election obtained it. So here's people who didn't attain it, and here's people who did. The nation Israel didn't, but the election did. And who are the elect? Verse 26 of Romans 11 says, and so all Israel shall be saved. They're going to obtain it. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. They're not going to obtain it based upon their works or who they are or their law keeping. It's going to be a deliverer who comes out of Jacob, out of Zion, and turn away ungodliness from, that's Christ. You see? Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And that's referring to the new covenant in Christ, where God will not impute sin to his people, but impute righteousness to them. And he says in verse 28, as concerning the gospel,
They are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, what did Israel seek for as a nation? And understand now, as we read these verses, there was always a remnant of true believers. And he says in verse 31 of chapter 9, now look at Romans 9, 31. He says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now Israel was seeking the perfection of righteousness found in the law. But they didn't attain it. They didn't make it. Now verse 32 of Romans 9. Wherefore, or why did they not attain it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. That's why they didn't obtain it. Now what is it to seek righteousness by faith? It's to seek it in Christ. You see, it's not to seek it in ourselves or our decision or our believing even. We believe unto righteousness. With the heart, we believe unto righteousness. That means we look to Christ. And it says in verse 32 of Romans 9, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, that's Christ. Verse 33, as it is written, he quotes from Isaiah here, Isaiah 8, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We read in Isaiah 45 and Romans, where they'll be ashamed, they'll be confounded. Because they're not looking to Christ. They're not pleading His blood and His righteousness as their only ground of salvation and justification before God. You remember those whom Christ looked at in Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never know you. What were they pleading? They said, we preach in your name, we cast out demons, we did many wonderful works. Is that what you plead before God as your righteousness? He never knew you. That is, He never had a loving relationship with you. His wrath abides on you. That's what that means. Well, look at Romans 10. Look at verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul's praying for physical Israel, his kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 2, for I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, what is the righteousness of God? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's Christ. They've not submitted to Christ. They've not believed in Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, what does it take for a sinner to receive and believe in Christ? I'll tell you what it takes. You must be born again by the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ said in John 3. You must be born again, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah 31 talks about it. He said, I'll give them a new heart. Or Ezekiel 36 says that. And Jeremiah says, I'll put my spirit within them. I'll write my law in their hearts. It takes a sovereign, powerful, invincible work of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring a sinner to believe in Christ. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And that's the case. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise it up again at the last day. So it takes a new heart. Well, look at Romans chapter 2, and look at verse 28. It says here in verse 28 of Romans 2, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, here's a person who is a natural born child of Abraham, a Jew, but he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means he hasn't been circumcised in heart. Circumcision of the heart is the new birth. That's the cutting away of the filth of the flesh. That refers to repentance of dead works. Paul said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. That's circumcision of the heart. That's a sinner being brought to faith in Christ because he's been given a new heart, the Bible says. That's circumcision of the heart. So here's a natural born descendant of Abraham, a Jew, but he doesn't believe in Christ. Well, he's a Jew physically, but he's not a spiritual Jew. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart. Well, how do you know that circumcision? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Romans chapter 9 again. Romans 9, look at verse 6. Now, we've already established, if you look at the history of Israel, the nation Israel, the ethnic Jews, they on the whole rejected the gospel. They rejected the message of the prophets, and they rejected Jesus of Nazareth when he came, as we all do by nature now. Now, understand, I'm not saying anybody who believes, if you're a believer, you have to say with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I have nothing to boast in or to be proud of. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But it says, well, because the majority of the nation Israel rejected, verse 6, and God promised to save all Israel. Well, was the word of God not good enough? Was God not powerful enough? Well, it says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. It's not as though the word of God were impotent. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that's a prophecy of Christ. Christ came through the lineage of Isaac. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, physical Jews, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, what's the promise? Well, the promise is salvation by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the promise is. Now, you'll notice there that he mentioned the seed of Abraham. Now, Abraham has a natural seed. That's all the physical descendants of him, both Arab and Jews, Arab and Israelites. But Abraham has a spiritual seed. Abraham is called the father of the faithful, the father of them that believe. Not because Abraham is the source of their faith or their salvation. It's because Abraham was a prime example as appointed by God of a sinner saved by grace, justified based on the imputed righteousness of Christ, brought to faith by God the Holy Spirit. And listen what it says here in verse 26 of Galatians 3 about the seed of Abraham. And this is talking about his spiritual seed, spiritual Israel. Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what that means is this. You don't become a child of God by faith in Christ. You give evidence that you are a child of God by faith in Christ. Now, how do you know that? Well, look down at Galatians 4 and verse 4. He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that's Christ, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now look at verse 6. And because you are sons, not in order to become sons, but because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that's how. Now go back to Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's placed into Christ, have put on Christ. To put him on is to believe in him. Verse 28. In this state, there's neither Jew nor Greek. See, no distinction. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, or if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see that? That's pretty plain, isn't it? Who are the spiritual seed of Abraham? Well, they're the elect of God. They're the chosen of God. They're the ones who are redeemed by the blood of Christ and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They're the Israel of God. They prevail. I mentioned last week, the name Israel means those who have prevailed with God. And how do you prevail with God? By looking to, resting in, believing in Christ as our whole salvation. Look over at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Here's the true Israel of God. Paul writes in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." To glory there means to boast. How can I boast of any right relationship with God? Well, only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross there is not just talking about a symbol or a piece of wood or a piece of jewelry that you wear. It's talking about His finished work on the cross to put away the sins of His people. The sins of His people imputed, charged to Him, and whereby He died and satisfied justice and brought forth righteousness to enable God to be both a just God and a Savior. And so we boast in the cross, the finished work of Christ, the glorious person of Christ, God in human flesh, without sin, and the finished work of Christ, by whom, verse 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation. Now what he's talking about circumcision there is physical circumcision. In other words, if you're a believer, if you're washed in the blood of Christ and clothed in His righteousness, whether you're a Jew or Gentile does not matter. What matters is, have you been made a new creature, a new creation? Now, what is a new creation? Well, listen to the words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, it's grace, all grace, even our believing is of grace. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works," not because of, but unto good works, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's the new creature, the new creation. A new creation, a new creature is one who's been regenerated by the Spirit. They've been given a new heart, been circumcised in heart and in ears. They know the gospel. So physical circumcision, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, doesn't matter. But a new creature. And look at verse 16 of Galatians 6. It says, "And as many as walk according to this rule," this canon is the literal word there, this doctrine, this teaching, this word. Well, what rule? "God forbid that I should glory except in the glorious person and finished work of Christ. Peace be on them." They are the ones who prevail with God and have peace with God through Christ, the blood of His cross. "And mercy." God's been compassionate towards them, evidenced by their belief in Christ, "and upon the Israel of God." That's the Israel of God, my friend. They say, "God forbid." You see, every prophet, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross." Every prophecy of the future eternal regathering of Israel in the Old Testament. That is, talking about the millennium, as people say, which is okay, is Israel coming together under the headship of Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, well, that's still future. That's going to come about. There'll come a time when the whole physical nation of Israel will be turned to Christ. Well, I don't believe the Bible teaches that, but I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, I'll be glad to be wrong. I would love to see the whole physical nation of Israel come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But let me tell you something. I'd love to see the whole Arab world come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I'd love to see the United States of America come to a saving knowledge of Christ, that God would be pleased to work His sovereign grace, His sovereign power in all. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're doing. What are we doing? We're seeking His sheep. We're seeking. Paul said, I do it for the elect's sake. That's what it's about. Now go back to Romans 11. And listen to it again. This is verse 26. And here's what he's been talking about up to this point. That the majority of the nation Israel reject it, but God has a remnant. And there is a remnant according to the election of grace. It's made up of God's people all over the world to the ends of the earth. Jew and Gentile, all who are brought to faith. And he says in verse 20, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. How do we know who all Israel? They are brought to faith in Christ and they repent of their dead works. They'll be delivered, and He'll turn away the iniquity of Jacob. Their sins will be taken away. They're righteous in Him. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.